21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus and Company. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for award-winning 21st Century Radio. Here's your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. I'm Dr. Bob Hieronymus, our executive producer and research assistant, law recording. Our engineer is Jake Bryant. And you're listening to Telesma there. There they go. Egyptian sun. Oh, friends, let me tell you before we get started tonight, two important things came my way in the past couple of weeks. One is the DVD called The Forgotten Birds, the story of the International League Baltimore Orioles. Over four hours. Whoa, boy, I was really enjoying that. And then the book, The Listens, a story of one Baltimore family in our national pastime. And, of course, that also deals with the International League Orioles, which I have some karma involved there. Well, have you lost an important object? Are you taking on a new job? Are you looking for buried treasure? It looks like everybody is looking for buried treasure. Oh, well, the art and practice of geomancy teaches you this century's old method of divining the answers to life's everyday questions, such as health, luck, new jobs, and love, as well as the less mundane. Nothing like finding buried treasure. I can even see, I remember seeing myself in old Oriole ballpark digging up the hill, looking for buried treasure. Of course, the treasure that we found it. It was clay. Red clay, yellow clay, green clay, blue clay. Yep, we found our treasure there in the hills. Well, you know, this book, The Art and Practice of Geomancy. Now, I have heard four or five different ways of pronouncing this. Now, let's get my boss's pronunciation. Geomancy. Okay. And that's what happens when you study things without looking into texts along those lines, huh? Well, this book, The Art and Practice of Geomancy, as my boss in there says, Divination, Magic, and Earth Wisdom of the Renaissance by John Michael Greer. Wiser Books, one of my favorite publishers, spending all those times up there in New York City, hanging out at Wiser's Books. Boy, we had some great times there. By John Michael Greer, as I noted, and go to the website, www.redwheelwiser.com. Wiser is spelled W-E-I-S-E-R.com. Now, this definitive book on geomancy belongs on every magician's bookshelf. And I know 92% of our listening audiences are upcoming magicians. Isn't that right? Yeah, of course. You've been studying for the last 22 years at 21st Century Radio. Now, many of us have studied, of course, the I Ching, the Eastern I Ching, and which, of course, is a binary code that's deceptively simple yet capable of great profundity. And John Michael Greer, I'm going to call him Dr. John Michael Greer, because after reading his book, he certainly deserves a couple of PhDs, maybe three or four, as you'll find out a little later on as we talk about this. John Michael Greer has been a student of the occult traditions for more than 25 years. He is the current Grand Archdruid of the Ancient Order of Druids in America. That's the AODA. He is a longtime Golden Dawn Initiate, a geomancer. and a student of sacred geometry. Greer is the author of numerous articles and 18 books, including The Druidry Handbook, The Druid Magic Handbook, and The Long Descent, A User's Guide to the End of the Industrial Age. And boy, I can't wait to see the end of this industrial age. Now, he is also the co-author of Learning Ritual Magic and Pagan Prayer Beads. He lives in Ashland, Oregon, with his wife, Sarah. Welcome to 21st Century Radio, John Michael.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be on.
John, I enjoyed your book immensely.
Thank you.
From time to time, we're going to be holding it up to the microphone so our listeners can see what we're talking about, because they've been studying here for 20-some years. And
that's very good to hear.
Well, yeah, well, it takes time to learn these things, as you well know. It only takes about a week, doesn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, first, your title is extraordinary. Will you give me the correct pronunciation of geomancy?
I don't know if there is a correct pronunciation. The way that I was taught to pronounce it was geomancy.
Oh.
Emphasis on the first syllable. I know people who pronounce it geomancy, like, you know, geometry, geology, something like that. Mm-hmm. But geomancy is the way I was always said in my hearing. And
Well, I got to tell you, when I saw the cover of this book, and then I saw what came under it, divination, magic, and the earth wisdom of the Renaissance, I got pretty excited. Now, this was only just a couple of weeks ago. But before we get into your questions and my questions, what is the earth wisdom of the Renaissance?
Well, most people have this idea that the Western world has kind of turned its back on nature since day one, and you have to go to tribal cultures here or Eastern cultures there or something like that. And that just ain't so. Before the Industrial Revolution, the traditional wisdom teachings of the Western world were very, very deeply involved in earth-centered spirituality, just, you know, as deeply as any in the world. It's only been for the last 300 to 350 years that we've been stuck in a rut of assuming that we are all-powerful and thus can ignore nature. And so one of the projects that's been of great interest to me for quite a few years now is going back to the last version of the old Western nature teachings from before the Industrial Revolution. From the era of the Renaissance, when, you know, they had printing presses, and there was a lot of stuff documented, a lot of material that's very easy to find, if you read Renaissance Latin, of course, or a few other things like that, but which I do. But so I've really pursued this idea of looking into what the Western world thought about nature, about humanity's relationship with nature, before we got all drunk on the idea of power through machines and basically went crazy.
Well, we certainly have gone crazy this past decade, but ever since, what, the late 40s or somewhere along that time period? Where would you put that time period when we really went crazy?
Well, it's the problem is that it's been, well, there's two things here. First of all, when did America go crazy? And then also when Western civilization as a whole kind of went off its rocker. Because what we're seeing in America is simply the local manifestation of something that goes back quite a bit longer. The current American empire around the world is we basically picked up when Britain dropped the ball right around the time of the Second World War. So yeah, in a way you could say, you know, 1940s for us. But if you want to trace the thing all the way back, you're looking at 1650, 1700, which is when the Western world really piled into this idea that we could be all powerful, we can ignore anything else because we've got the knowledge, we've got the technology, we've got the fossil fuels, and we can just ride roughshod over everything. Hasn't worked that well, but hey, you know.
Well, it certainly has bottomed out.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid we haven't yet seen bottomed out.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right, John Michael. I'm sorry. You're right. That is what I think most Americans, or actually planetary citizens, let's put it that way. You know, they're all looking for the big revival, which is going to happen in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. It isn't. It isn't. Past administration did us in so badly that we still haven't even seen exactly where we're heading.
Yeah, and I'm afraid it's going to get a lot worse than most people are thinking.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners out there who have grandparents or old elderly relatives who still remember the Great Depression, sit down with them sometime, talk to them, find out what things were like when the money runs out and the resources are running short, because you may need that knowledge.
No doubt. And we need to look after those who have moved on into the later years, because, boy, they have a lot of wisdom that we sure could use at this time.
Oh, yeah.
They lived at a time when their word was their word, which, as you know, was just so different to be able to trust people. It's like almost everybody today. I'm going to use an old term here. It's like everybody today looks at each other as a car salesman. You know, there's no. You could be talking, but you don't necessarily believe what anybody says. Whether, and there's good reason to doubt, at least along certain lines. Now, geomancy, what is it?
Well, you were mentioning the I Ching, the Book of Changes, a little while back, and the geomancy is kind of a Western equivalent of that. Like the I Ching, it uses binary code, it uses binary symbolism, where the I Ching uses 64 hexagrams made of six single, solid or broken lines. Geomancy uses 16 figures that are made of four single or double points. And you can generate them by any random is the usual term. I'm not sure I believe that there is such a thing as random in the universe. But you can, you generate them by any number of methods. You cast four of them at a time and combine them in various ways. And from that you lay out a chart and interpret the chart, and that's where the divination happens and the interpretation begins.
And of course, that's where the binary code. I mean, this book has excited me so much because, when we all are students, and I'm still a student, I'll be one for the next couple lifetimes. The most exciting thing is, I remember when I first bumbled into this back there in 1967. I was having a hell of a good time with a friend of mine. Her name was Rolla Nordic, who was not just a tarot card reader, but a great deal more. And she served on the board of our school that we founded, where the first AUM became the first esoteric study center in the country to be given granted the capacity to award certificates in religious metaphysics, mystical arts, and a number of other things. And
Rolla Nordic, that's a name I haven't heard in a long time, but I think one of her books was one of the first books I studied when I was first learning tarot back in the day.
Yeah, well, she was a lovely lady. Very dedicated, as all of these individuals are. I mean, friends, these are the kind of people that if you needed certain kind of guidance or help and you just didn't have money, you didn't have to worry about it. Mainly because they understood what it is to be a human. And certainly, she was the kind of person that helped untold number of individuals at no cost. Of course, you'd like to get paid from time to time. People like to get paid. Do you like to get paid, John, sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Just sometimes, though.
Well, it's, I have this addiction to things like rent and food.
That's a big addiction.
It's one of those things. I've tried to break it occasionally, but it just doesn't work too well.
Well, obviously, we need to know if geomancy, we got an inkling of what it is, but where did it come from?
Well, that's actually one of the most interesting questions, because the straight-up answer is nobody knows for sure. It surfaced in North Africa and the Middle East sometime around the 9th century of the Common Era, and as a complete system, developed and fully functioning, and it became very popular all through the Muslim world at that time, and then it was picked up fairly quickly thereafter by people in medieval Europe. And it became really the most popular divination system of its time. It had all the flexibility of astrology, but wasn't, you didn't have to know the kind of math that you had to know to cast an astrological chart before computers came around. And so it's been a real question, where did this thing come from? Where, this interesting system. The nearest guess I have draws on the fact that there are a lot of similar systems using binary patterns like that in sub-Saharan Africa, especially in West Africa. And down into South Africa, you have just a variety of systems. None of them are quite the same, but they all tend to use the same kind of four single or double point binary figures. You've got the Ifo Oracle in West Africa. You've got a whole range of others, Hakata down in South Africa and so on, Asikidi over Madagascar. So my guess is this is one of the contributions that that Africa has made to the Western esoteric tradition.
When did you bump into this tradition?
Well, my original training in esotericism was by way of the Golden Dawn. And a version of geomancy, a very simplified and rather fragmentary version, it's part of the training that you get when you're working through the degrees in the Golden Dawn system. I was very dissatisfied with the system that I was taught there. It had some really interesting potentials, but it was as though big chunks were missing. And in fact, they were. I didn't learn that until later.
Yeah.
So I think it would have been 91 or 92. I'd gone back to college and was, among other things, studying Latin and happened to run across a translation of, it's an edition of a medieval text, a medieval geomancer's handbook, in a French book on geomancy that they happened to have at the University Library. This was at the University of Washington over in Seattle. And I was looking through this thing and using my somewhat fragmentary grasp of Latin at that point to piece through it and going, holy hot, this is a completely different art than anything I've seen. It's much more flexible, much more sophisticated, much more interesting. And so one of my first actual independent projects as somebody who knows Latin, one of my first translations was to make a translation of this text by Pietro d'Abano, the famous medieval geomancy. And I started using it in my own practice and going, wow, this is great, and proceeded to start really hunting and found a number of other old geomancy handbooks from the Renaissance period. Actually, there were a couple in English. In the process, I found out that the Golden Dawn had taken 24 pages out of a 600-page manual of geomancy. And that 24 pages was everything that they taught.
Mm-hmm.
So was there something missing? Yeah.
Well, that's one of the 427,922 things I learned from this book.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was some confusion in my mind as to its, not just its origins, but how in the world to use it, and the fact that the sources that I had touched on in 67 mm-hmm. were so simplistic that I thought to myself, I don't know if I can really work with this.
Mm-hmm.
But now I can.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only because of your book.
Well, thank you. And in my case, there's not that much that's original in that book. Mostly I was taking Renaissance material and presenting it in English, of course, and in modern English and in modern terms so that people could understand and use it.
Well, that was a very un-American thing you just said there. that nothing. What author admits that almost anything in their book is not originally theirs? And yet, that's true with all of us that are writers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, isn't it true? Being students
mm-hmm.
in the physical body
mm-hmm.
And trying to determine exactly what our purpose is and what our destiny is all about, because I do believe, and I'm biased in that area, that all of us do have special purposes and destinies to work out.
I think
it's a kind of fundamental being a human. But also fundamental is we must take a break. Rules and regulations 506 of the Penal Code, and we always pay attention to that. So sit up straight, eye straight ahead, and make sure that you... next time when you come to class, shine those shoes. You got to have shiny shoes when you come to our classes. We'll be back with our guest, John Michael Greer, the art and practice of geomancy, divination, magic, and earth wisdom of the Renaissance. Red Wheel, Weiser Books, Weiser Books, www.aoda.org, which is also linked on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com, where you can also order that book. If you're a business owner or executive seeking growth yet determined to cut wasteful costs, consider outsourcing your whole marketing department to The Selling Well. The Selling Well offers businesses truly superior marketing services without all the overhead costs associated with employing a full-time marketing executive. Learn more online at thesellingwell.com. That's thesellingwell.com, named after one of our greatest symbols of prosperity, the well. Visit thesellingwell.com or call The Selling Well's managing partner, Plato Hieronymus, at 443-939-1890, theSellingWell.com.
UnitedSymbolismOfAmerica.com is the place to go to check out my latest book, a beautiful gallery of over 70 illustrations with many in color, plus ones we didn't have room for in the print version. Read some of the intriguing stories and other content we cut from the book for lack of space. Order an autographed copy online along with coffee mugs, pins, medallions, and other books available only at UnitedSymbolismOfAmerica.com. See the reviews of my latest book from Willie Nelson, Shirley MacLaine, George Norrie, Graham Hancock, Stanley Krippner, and many more. UnitedSymbolismOfAmerica.com. Check it out today.
Hello, this is Rosemary Ellen Guiley. I'm the author of the Encyclopedia of Magic and Alchemy and many other books on the paranormal. You're listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Oh, thank you, Rosemary. Boy, last time I saw her, we were all together with Bud Hopkins, hanging out with UFOs. There's nothing like hanging out with the UFO friends. And, of course, our guest is John Michael Greer, the art and practice of geomancy, divination, magic, and earth wisdom of the Renaissance. Red Wheel Wiser Books, that is, Red Wheel Wiser Books, www.aoda.org, which is also linked on the front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com, where you can also order this book. John Michael. You know, when the wisdom like this is available, it's always fascinating to me how all sometimes it just disappears and gets forgotten. How did this geomancy get so forgotten that most people forgot about, including myself?
Well, we were talking earlier about when the Western world kind of went nuts, and you know, with the coming of the scientific revolution, the handful of people that still tried to preserve the old wisdom traditions were in a really horrific bind. They had this huge body of material that had been passed down, in some cases for millennia, that, you know, was more than any one person, more than any dozen people, could keep going as a living tradition. And they only had a very small number of people who were interested at that point. Everyone was going off into Isaac Newton's new science. The whole rationalist materialist trip was attracting most of the top talent in those days. Nearly everybody had become convinced that all of this old stuff was just superstitious garbage. Let's, you know, throw it out in the trash. So the amount of triage that had to happen, the amount of sorting to figure out what could actually be saved, what was necessary, what could be packaged up in a way that could be transmitted from teacher to student for perhaps many lifetimes, as it turned out, before the interest in these things started picking up again. It was a really savage situation. Geomancy was one of the many things that didn't make the cut. We don't know what exactly discussions went on. There isn't a lot of record of this kind of stuff. But the last outfit that I know of that was really teaching geomancy in any sense was the circle of students around Dr. Rudd in the 1650s. And after that, it just kind of dropped. And the groups that were around after that in Britain and Europe and various other places were basically they kept astrology going. They kept certain philosophical traditions going. The Kabbalah that was very important, and that we have to keep. The Hermetic traditions, certain amounts of alchemy. Alchemy was mostly something that the German lodges kept up, and so on. And so it was just a small sample of the original Western mystery tradition that actually survived this very difficult time to get to the second half of the 19th century when people really started becoming interested in it again. And the problem, of course, by the time this material got down to, you know, the late 19th century when Eliphas Levi started the revival, the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, the Hermetic Brotherhood of Luxor, some of these other groups, really started digging up the old traditions, is that all they had to go on was what had been handed down to them. Okay, well, we've got the astrology. We've got these really interesting tarot cards that nobody quite has figured out how to use yet, but we're working on it. And, you know, we've got the philosophy. We've got these rituals and so on. And that's what the wisdom tradition is. That's all we know about. The people in the Golden Dawn and a couple of the other old orders really went the extra mile and tried to find anything they could get. And that's one of the reasons that geomancy ended up in the Golden Dawn study program, because they figure, okay, we have no idea what this is, but it was obviously important back in 1600. Let's put it in and see if anyone can make sense of it. But, you know, imagine for a moment that, you know, sometime in this century that's now underway around us, popular thought turned as radically against materialist science as it turned toward materialist science in 1650. How much of modern science would survive? What would be left? And might there be people sitting around talking, you know, 1,000 years from now saying, well, you know, there used to be this thing called genetics and we have no idea what it is anymore, because there weren't enough people to keep it as a living tradition.
Well, we need to get into the alphabet of geomancy, then how to cast one of these readings, because it's this alphabet that I find so exciting, because every time I see this alphabet, I can't help but think of alchemical formulas, and I can't help but think of my favorite person in the whole world, Dr. John Dee, and I'm still working on the hieroglyphic monad.
Oh, man, that will keep you busy for the rest of this incarnation and three more. Oh, that's the monas is fascinating. You know, it has just suddenly occurred to me that you can map the geomantic figures onto the different aspects of the monad.
Yes, and that's what you reawakened within me.
That's
pretty exciting.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mean, Dee knew about geomancy. Everybody in his time did.
So what is the alphabet, though?
What is it? The 16 figures.
Yeah.
The 16 figures of geomancy. As I said, each of them consists of four either single or double dots. If you have four double dots, and you stack them up in a vertical row, you have four double dots. That's the figure populus, which means people, crowd. It corresponds to the moon and the element of water and so on. If you have four single dots, that's via. It means a road, path, journey. And it also corresponds to the moon, curiously enough. And then you have various other combinations of single and double dots that give you your basic set of symbols. One of the things that's standard in, I think, pretty much every divination system is you've got a set of symbols. You've got, you know, your 78 tarot cards. You've got your 64 hexagrams of the I Ching. You've got your 24 runes if you're doing the Elder Futhark, and so on and so forth. And the 16 figures of the geomancy alphabet.
Well, that alphabet, I've got to tell you, it's deceptively simple. Because all of a sudden, as you start meditating on just some of the layouts of here, so I'm being reintroduced to it all over again. And I just wish I would have bumped into your book in 1967.
Well,
it would have made a hell of a difference.
I wish somebody had written my book with me, it could have been as late as 1975 or so, which is when I first started getting into this stuff. But yeah, I wish somebody had written this. But as so often happens, you know, I want a book badly enough, and nobody else gets around to writing it. And finally, all right, I guess I have to write it myself.
Well, I had the same problem with the Great Seal of the United States, the Pyramid, the Eye, and the Triangle, because unfortunately, there was a lot of research done in that area, but it was the worst research. The quality of it was terrible.
That has been my experience, yeah.
I mean, because there's a lot of assumptions, and people didn't study history, so they quote each other without checking their facts, and that really can be one person's quoting somebody else's error, and that can go on for centuries.
That is really the besetting sin of alternative scholarship, people just quoting each other, without ever going back to the original and checking.
Mm-hmm. Well, it kind of, right now, since we can Google just almost anything, that can really get us in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't tell the quality of the research that you're pulling from at first. It takes a while.
It takes some study, and you have to be willing to check. My favorite example is the number of people out there who still insist that the word tarot comes from Egyptian tar, rosh, royal road. You probably learned that
Correct.
Back in 1967.
Yeah.
I learned it
That's
also.
Right. Yep. That's right.
you care to guess what royal road actually is in ancient Egyptian?
What is it?
Wat Nesu. Now, if you can get taro out of that, you're doing a lot better than I am.
Yeah.
You pick up a copy of, you know, Wallace Budge's Dictionary of Ancient Egyptian Hieroglyphics. You can look it up. It takes like 2 minutes. Wat Nesu, you know? But people have been quoting from the guy who originally thought he'd figured that out back in the late 1700s, before anyone could read Egyptian hieroglyphics. And it's just kept on, you know, propagating itself down through the years.
Well, how does one cast a geomantic reading?
Well, there's actually a lot of different ways. Anything that will give you a set of yes or no, heads or tails, odd or even, you do it 16 times, you get your four figures. So I know people who flip coins. When I'm in a hurry, I've got a set of four dice. And there's a red die and a yellow die and a blue die and a green die for the three or for the four elemental levels of each figure. And so I can roll those dice four times and cast the four figures. So you've got to have four to start with.
Well, I have a confession, and the confession is this. I envy you so much now because you got those dice that you talk about in your book.
Mm-hmm.
There's four different color ones. You have to send the way to where, did you say? Venezuela or something?
No, I was actually vacationing with some friends out on the Oregon coast, not too far from where I used to live. And we stopped in this grocery store, and they had out in this kind of small tourist town out there, and they had various things to amuse the tourists up in front, and decks of playing cards and things like that, and toys to keep the children from killing each other in the back seat while you're driving. But they had this tray of dice of many different colors, and I thought, and I just picked them up at a cost. They were like 25 cents a piece.
Yeah. Oh.
Obviously I got a set.
I covet. Thou shalt not covet.
I'd say go out to Ocean City or something and say, check the grocery
Maybe
stores.
They do. Maybe they do. But that had to have been a stunner.
It was certainly pleasant.
Little store in there and find these little things. Now, what kind of we're going to take a break soon, but let's get started on this question here. What kinds of questions can be asked and answered by way of geomancy?
By way of geomancy? Anything that has a definite answer. The easiest questions to ask and answer are things that are yes or no. Is this a good idea? Is this going to happen or not? Anything where you can actually get down in that kind of solid yes or no sort of thing is a breeze to ask and answer by geomancy. And one of the big differences that I found with geomancy and some of the other divination systems, you get a lot of divination systems that tends to be very vague and very subjective and often very, very emotional and personality-based, And so often you sit down with a reading and the reading boils down to, well, you need to reach deep down in yourself and you will know the answer. And this is not necessarily that helpful. One of the things that sets geomancy apart is that it gives you a straight-up answer. This is also one of the disadvantages because it may not be the answer you want.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I do geomancy readings and somebody's brought to me literally their life's dream. And I cast the chart and say, well, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. You really need to reconsider this because what this divination says is no. And people, some people appreciate that. Some people, I've had that suspicion all along. I think I'll go do something more useful with my life. But some people will, get up from the table and storm away in a huff because they came to the divination process wanting someone to reassure them, wanting someone to agree with them. And geomancy doesn't always do that. It will say, no, you're nuts.
Well, we're in a yes culture,
John
Michael. We can't say no. You're supposed to say yes to everything. Charge everything. Be like old W. Bush at the time of our being plundered and beat up on 9/11. All of a sudden, he tells us to go out and take our credit cards and charge. Most people have forgotten that.
Stupid things. Why not say, there are many people who are saying, look, give us victory bonds. We will buy them. We could have erased our national debt, built up a huge body of money in the hands of the federal government that they could have used, to go after bin Laden and actually do what they were supposed to be doing, or what have you. Instead, it's no, go out, charge, run up your credit cards.
I bet you. But have you talked to anyone recently that kind of remembers that's what we were told? Our president tells us to go out and buy things, not to save, not not to look out for things. And if that didn't tell us at that time where we were headed, 9 years down the line.
That was one of those, oh.
Oh, yeah.
No,
that's exactly
moment.
What I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, if he's that careless, you know, well, of course, if you're a multimillionaire and you own different drug companies, I guess that's a whole different thing. You know, you can go ahead and charge as much as you want.
Charge as much as you want. Well, as long as you have a lot of stock in the like an antacid company, so when people are going, oh, my God, you know, I'm not going to be able to survive this, and they're worried and they need Alka-Seltzer or something.
That's right. Maybe you could just go buy Monsanto. And
exactly. You buy Monsanto. Cashed in on it. Antidepressants.
Yeah. Well, look, we need to take a break here. And when we come back here, we'll talk about a little bit about ethics of divination. And I really appreciated that part because, boy, they're generally with mainstream media, there generally aren't any ethics. I mean, you just do as you damn want. And then a little bit about the equipment. And we need to talk about geomantic intelligences. We need to talk about a little bit about hours of the day because, you know, you just can't do anything anytime you want to have it turn out right. And you also note, and this is what...
Open your face here.
And this is one of the most important things. You note that the secrets of occult philosophy and practice aren't secret because somebody decided to hide them. They're secret because they can't be understood and used until the person trying to understand and use them has had certain inner experiences. It's that simple. And that's the way it is with the, you know, in any school. You know, you've really, obviously, you got to understand that stuff. You just can't pick up and go. But right now, we are going to pick up and go for a few minutes here. And we're going to award a copy of this book to one of our listeners out there. And, of course, we told you you can cheat. There are different ways of cheating, and you can certainly do that in order to get the proper answer. Our guest, of course, is John Michael Greer. The book is The Art and Practice of Geomancy, Divination, Magic, and the Earth Wisdom of the Renaissance. Red Wheel Wiser Books, www.aoda.org. Also linked on our front page of 21stCenturyRadio.com. And there you can order this book.
For over 480 WCBM.
Next week on 21st Century Radio, my beloved Zahara makes an earlier than usual appearance on 21st Century Radio this week as we huddle around the microphone trying to keep warm and review the latest in 21st Century news. Sunday night at 8, 21st Century Radio, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
No matter who we are or what we do, our health is a priority. To stay well or to recover from an illness or injury, consider using options that are safe, natural, and in some cases, thousands of years old. From acupuncture to modern-day massage, counseling, and homeopathic medicine, the Ruscomb Mansions Community Health Center offers children and adults numerous health care and support services. Find out more about the Ruscomb Mansions yoga classes and weekend programs. Call 410-367-7300. That's 367-7300.
Right away here. I'm twisting the night away. Did they twist in those days? I don't think so. Not in the 40s. But they probably did some kind of a twist. Oh, man. Let's take a look at what's inside the prize library this hour. Here we are at the 21st Century Radio Cafe, Bar and Grill, and a few other things here. And I'm sharing a little glass of carrot juice with my friend John Michael Greer. And we're partying here, and we're going to ask you a question so you can win his book. The book is called The Art and Practice of Geomancy, Divination, Magic, and Earth Wisdom of the Renaissance by John Michael Greer, courtesy of Wiser Books, www.redwheelwiser.com. First correct caller to answer this question is going to be the winner. Who was our guest on 21st Century Radio last week? You just tell us. Who joined us on 21st Century Radio last week, then you're going to be our winner. But you need to qualify. Here's how to do it. If you know the answer to this hour's quiz question on 21st Century Radio and you have not won from us in the last 60 days, call in now. 410-922-6680. That's 410-WCBM-680. First with the right answer wins. Prizes are available for you to pick up at the WCBM studios in Pikesville after Friday of this week.
Winners have 60 days to pick up the prizes and must wait 60 days before winning another prize from 21st Century Radio. Good luck.
Hello, this is Stanley Krippner. I'm professor of psychology at Saybrook Graduate School in San Francisco on behalf of 21st Century Radio, run by Dr. Bob Hieronymus. And I would certainly encourage listeners to stay tuned because you will hear things on 21st Century Radio that you'll hear nowhere else on the airwaves.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stanley Krippner, world-renowned. I studied under him for 5.5 years for my PhD and my work. And boy, it is just so wonderful to study under people that are so much more brilliant than you, let me tell you that. Our guest is John Michael Greer, the art and practice of geomancy, divination, magic, and earth wisdom of the Renaissance, Red Wheel Wiser Books, and www.aoda.org, or you can order it from our website. John Michael, ethics. Why are ethics important, especially in divination?
Well, in any kind of situation, really, ethics are important throughout life. We have this delusion that you can get away with whatever you can get away with. And one of the reasons that I think we've gotten into what you earlier described as a situation where we all treat ourselves as used car salesmen, or treat each other or ourselves as used car salesmen, is precisely that there's the idea that, you know, I've got mine, Jack, is a reasonable approach to life. Doesn't work. And especially in a situation like divination, you're asking somebody to sit down and share their life with you. You're going to offer them counsel. You're going to offer them advice based on what your reading comes up. And of course, a reading, people think that it's a matter of, you know, somebody sits down and the diviner goes, eeny, meeny, chili, beeny, and then tells them everything. A divination is a conversation. It's a shared thing. It's a shared creation. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to expect somebody to share their lives with you, you're going to need to treat them like a human being and not like a walking ambulatory lump of cash that you want to leave in. You want them to leave in your pocket. There are a lot of traditional ethical teachings in the Western esoteric traditions, and they have been, of course, denounced by various nouveau occultists of various kinds, and that's fine, but they work. They've been proven over time. And some of the issues that you're going to come up with if you do divinations for people are things that sort of teaching deals with very directly, and that you know, those teachings reflect a lot of experience over a lot of centuries.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that what you pointed out repeatedly was that if you're looking at a reading, or you're checking a reading, and you're thinking about it, and you can see something that might be a termination of life,
mm-hmm.
is not something you necessarily share.
No. Now, this is a curious thing, because back in the Middle Ages, the Renaissance, people would go to diviners, would go to astrologers and geomancers and say, when will I die and how? And they'd expect to get an answer. That doesn't sound like a question that I would ask a diviner, and these days we generally won't do that. Most ethical diviners won't do that kind of thing. There's always the problems with self-fulfilling prophecies and things like that. But one of the things you'll find if you actually take the time to learn or to learn the old methods of doing things out of these old books, if your Latin is up to it, for example, is that they treat that as a perfectly ordinary question. You know, when will I die?
What about the equipment that one needs for divination?
Well, that it varies. There are, of course, there. If you happen to get to a tourist trap grocery store that sells colored dye, you can use as little as that and a pad of paper and a pen.
Yeah, that means we got to go all the way to Oregon, though.
Yeah, no, you can say check out Ocean City.
Okay, I'll do that.
You can do that.
Right.
And by the way, I expect a cut from the Ocean City Tourist Board now.
Well, okay. Well, if they got them.
If they got them, they better run out there and get some multicolored dice.
Well, what I'm going to do, if they ain't got them, I'm going to go sue them.
There you go. Or you can take a vacation to Oregon. there have been, I don't know if any of them are still available at this point, but there have been packs of geomancy cards. You can actually use a regular pack of playing cards, just treat red as a single dot and black as a double dot and deal out four cards and just write down the figure. There's all kinds of stuff. The Golden Dawn, which a tradition which tended to be way out there on the let's make things as complicated as possible, recommended that people make this sort of wooden tray with various strange symbols and colors painted on it, and then you filled it with sand, and you had this stick that you tapped on the ground. It looked rather like a cat box. And I know of at least one case where somebody went to the trouble of doing this and their cats decided that it was a cat box. That was a little awkward.
Yeah, that's awkward, all right.
Very much so. But, you know, the sort of mystical cat box approach is something you can do if you want to. Apparently, one of the reasons that geomancy caught on so big in the Muslim world back in the 9th and 10th centuries of the Common Era is that you can literally do this by smoothing out a patch of sand and closing your eyes and kind of tapping at random and then counting odd and even numbers of taps in a line. So it was, you know, very low maintenance. The Middle East, I mean, in those days they hadn't figured out about petroleum yet, and so most of what the Middle East had in abundance was sand.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Well, that's, in other words, we can say it's low tech.
It is low tech, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you can do it with a stick and sand, I mean, that's what I think is so terrific about this. Mm-hmm. Now,
you can actually get, there are computer programs out there to do this. My friend Chris Warnock at RenaissanceAstrology.com has this really sophisticated Geomanticon computer program that you can, you know, it will do the chart for you. It will walk you through the process of interpreting it. It's quite an arrangement, but you don't need that kind of complexity if you don't want it.
Well, I would be bored by it because I would be trying.
I prefer myself. I prefer the cards myself, but using cards, using dice, what have you. But I know people who are really into the program.
Well, sure. If it's the kind of thing that you really need, I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But the most important thing, I think, is that in our Western culture, where the materialism has more than run rampant but controls just about everything, we're taught basically that we're the only physical intelligent beings on the planet, needless to say, and even there are nothing exists outside of the physical body. Now, that has got to be pretty sloppy, because, you know, we have now begun to understand that there is dark matter, at least from that perspective. Forget about souls and immortality of that and all that, because I think it's there. But dark matter is there. Mm-hmm. And that's, like they say, anywhere between 90 and 95% of what is out there, and we can't see it. So how in the hell?
We know there's something there, we can't perceive it, and all of a sudden a certain kinds of traditional mysticism are starting to look a little less silly than they once did.
You know? Sure did, because I believe, by and large, that we are always surrounded by other beings.
Hmm.
As I'm sitting in this room here, I don't know, I can't necessarily see these other beings that are here all the time, but they've been joining us on this radio program for 20-some years,
mm-hmm.
and they're hanging out by the microphone.
Well, there we go.
You know, so the other thing is that they are geomantic intelligence and spirits. Besides that, now could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I want to start by going back to your comment that, you know, we have this idea that basically humanity is the summit of the pyramid of intelligence, and you know that's a very strong modern belief. And I have to say, if that's the case, God help us all, because we're not actually that bright. Back in the Renaissance and the Middle Ages, the idea was that humanity was about the halfway mark, and there were, you know, levels of being rising above us on the great ladder of being that went up as far above us as pond scum is below us.
Mm-hmm.
That was you know, what everyone assumed back in those days, and I have to admit it certainly lends us a degree of humility that we could have used over the last 350 years. Now, the traditions of geomantic intelligence and the geomantic spirits are based on a fairly simple fact here, which is that if you interact with a divination system like geomancy, like the Yi Jing, or what have you, any of these, you very quickly get the idea that there's somebody on the other end that you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yeah.
not just mechanical. There's a personality there, or as the geomancers would say, there are seven personalities there corresponding to the seven planetary energies. And whatever these things are in some kind of objective, abstract sense, we don't know. I mean, we have to start with that realization. We don't know what is behind this sense of personality. We can come up with all kinds of theories. If we're materialists, we can say, well, it's our subconscious mind, or it's a projection, or blah, blah, blah. If we are animists, we might say, well, yes, it's a spirit. It's an intelligent, you know, it's an intelligent being, or what have you. It certainly acts as though there's an intelligence on the other side. And the old geomancers were sensible enough to simply say, okay, well, if it acts like, you know, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, why not treat it as a duck and, you know, see if it's tasty when served up as picking. Well, never mind.
Well, being very, very, very practical, yeah. Very practical, and if it worked, it worked.
If it worked, it worked.
And right now, we need to take our last break of this hour, and when we come back with John Michael Greer, we will talk a little bit about timing. Timing is really key to just about anything. And also the idea of secrecy and what that is all about. Because, boy, do I hear all... Every time I do a history show, program, a history channel, or Discovery, or National Geographic, or whatever, we're always involved with that whole thing. What's the secrecy all about, Dr. Bob? Well, we'll talk about that when we get back with John Michael Greer in The Art and Practice of Geomancy, Divination, Magic, and Earth Wisdom of the Renaissance.
Now, the latest from Fox News on the most powerful names in talk. Talk Radio 680 WCBM Baltimore.